I think that it certainly is important that the free world expresses its concern about the situation in Zimbabwe. I think that even though Mr. Mugabe has tended not to listen, I do believe that it's still useful for our voices to be made heard. The more voices, the better. And at the end of the day, perhaps he may listen to some of the pleas for a fair and free election.
MDC opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai says that he met with South African President Thabo Mbeki, and the MDC is now asking SADC, the Southern African community, to replace Thabo Mbeki as mediator. What's your take on that?
Well, there has been a great deal of discussion as it relates to President Mbeki and the situation in Zimbabwe. You know, South Africa, of course, is the dominant force in the southern region. There certainly has been frustration expressed at the manner in which President Mbeki has dealt with the situation. There are certainly differences within ANC. I know that President Zuma favors a stronger position against ZANU-PF and also the Speaker of the South Africa Parliament. But I don't know whether the call for Mr. Mbeki to step down will be entertained or not.
If Thabo Mbeki says to Morgan Tsvangirai he has no plans on how to end the deepening crisis in Zimbabwe, what can the international community do short of threatening to prosecute those who commit political violence and killings before the International Criminal Court?
Well, I think that one of the positive occurrences in the last day or two is that South Africa has agreed to send 1,000 election monitors to Zimbabwe. I think that that is a positive sign that Mr. Mbeki has not been given very much credit for. But I do believe that if there are sufficient election monitors, they tend to prevent violence from occurring just by their presence. And so I'm not sure that all is lost on President Mbeki's position. I'm not ready to say that the election will not be fair and free.
More African leaders are speaking out now. President Kagame of Rwanda has checked in. How important is it to have heard from Kenya's prime minister on Zimbabwe at this stage of the crisis?
Well, I think it's very important, the fact that Kenya, of course, had its tremendous upheaval at the beginning of this year, which shocked the world because of the stability that Kenya has always shown through the decades. But I do believe that the prime minister speaking out strongly sends a good message to Zimbabwe. And I would hope that Mr. Mugabe, who, as we all know, was a person that we all revered and admired when he and Joshua Nkomo fought the white Rhodesian minority rule and was, of course, a hero and did a great job in education in Zimbabwe. It's hopefully there will be a change of heart and perhaps other African leaders might speak out as the election comes to the date, and that may have influence on the behavior of the security forces and the government of Zimbabwe.
In reality, how much influence can countries like Rwanda and Kenya exert on Zimbabwe when South Africa and President Mbeki hold the main leverage that Southern African countries can exert on President Mugabe and ZANU-PF?
Well, you know, Africa has relied on regional organizations, ECOWAS for the West African states, and of course SADC in the South. However, I think that statements made from people in other parts of the continent, it really resonates throughout the continent, and I do believe that respected leaders like President Kagame in Rwanda and others will have an impact and perhaps even have Mr. Mbeki start to speak out. You know, there are some similar problems in South Africa as we have in Zimbabwe so far as land is concerned and abject poverty, with so many people, however, still the wealthy white settlers who still maintain a very enjoyable standard of living. And so there are some similarities, and I don't know whether Mr. Mbeki is looking at potential future of South Africa as it moves forward. You know, these two countries are closely connected, and perhaps what happens there can also, I'm not talking about the manner in which the government has taken over, but the question of land still the white minority having extraordinary wealth. I think some of these problems are similar to both countries.
Uh-huh. Now, although many outstanding efforts were made by longshoremen in Durban and in Mozambique to speak out against the transfer of arms to Zimbabwe from a Chinese boat, it was reported that many firearms did make it to Zimbabwe into ZANU-PF hands. How inspiring was this political act by Zimbabwe's neighbors to stand off the arms?
Oh, it was very important. As a matter of fact, we passed the resolution commending the dock workers who refused to unload the ship initially and likened it to West Lowenza in Poland when the dock workers and the solidarity movement helped to bring to a halt the communist regime. Symbolic, you know, that they stood up and said, no, we're not going to do this. And so there was a tremendous amount of praise. And it does show that people can stand together and defeat tyranny, defeat wrongdoings just by their solidarity.
Now, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said at the UN Thursday that the Zimbabwe crisis is destabilizing the entire Southern African region. Is she on the right track, or is the world speaking up too little too late to stop the intimidation and the jailing of opposition party leaders in Zimbabwe?
Well, I think that there has been criticism right along. You know, in some situations, there's very little that can be done by world powers. I think pre-9/11, the sort of the big four or big five in the world could suggest strongly to countries that their behavior ought to be altered. And in a lot of instances, it happened. We're sort of in a different world today, and things are just different now. There's very little, for example, the U.S. Has very few ties with Zimbabwe now. We do give humanitarian assistance because our policy is that we never prevent food and medicine and other humanitarian commodities from going into a country, regardless to the leadership of the country. But there's very little clout that we have over Zimbabwe, and that's why we have urged the neighbors to step up and really take the lead. As a matter of fact, in a number of the issues in Africa, the African countries and the leaders have been the ones who have come up with solutions, whether it was in the North-South conflict in Sudan, even though we had a representative Danforth, it was the negotiations of the Kenyans and IGAD that came up with solutions. The problem in the Democratic Republic of Congo, when so many countries were at war with one another, Uganda and Rwanda and Burundi and Angola and Zimbabwe and so forth. It was an African solution to this African problem, and President Musari was involved from Botswana in negotiations. President Julius Nyerere started the negotiations in Burundi and picked up by President Mandela and ECOWAS under President Obasanjo, the Togo situation where he said they had to have an election or they would not recognize a country. The Sao Tome Principe and the fellas in the barrack were going to come out and perhaps overthrow the legitimately elected president. That was halted by ECOWAS saying, you can't do that. And I think it was Mauritania where they were told in 3 months you have to have a legitimate election. So there have been a tremendous strides made by African leaders and African organizations, IGAD, ECOWAS, and even SADC. And so I still have a lot of hope that there will be, now when I say African solutions to African problems, I don't mean therefore that the rest of the world simply advocates any kind of responsibility, but I think that we should still be supportive. But I do believe that there are a tremendous amount of talent in Africa to solve many of the problems there.
Yeah, I hate to dampen the conclusions here, but 12 bodies were found in Zimbabwe on Thursday, possibly relating to the political violence. How serious do you think is the Zimbabwe crackdown on aid groups and the use of food as a political tool in this runoff campaign?
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, food should never be used as a weapon. And we are very, very disturbed at this. And I do hope that President Mbeki at least will use his influence to see that this doesn't happen. Food aid was diverted in the past from areas that did not vote for Mugabe. This is reprehensible. We just cannot tolerate that kind of behavior.
In reality, for visiting foreign leaders to speak out on common issues of concern in other countries has been a time-honored political practice of foreign dignitaries seeking good relations with Washington. Do you think Mr. Odinga and the Kenyan government had this in mind as they raised their voice on Zimbabwe so prominently this week here in Washington?
I cannot speak for what the Kenyan government's position was or why it was. I do know that Kenya has gone through some real strife recently. They do know what the political violence